friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. My opening serve on the Sunny Side of Sports is U.S. Open tennis. South African star Kevin Anderson continues his quest for his first Grand Slam title on Friday in New York. Now, our VOA tennis fans will remember the tall, lanky Anderson has twice made it to the final of a major, losing to Novak Djokovic at Wimbledon last month and to world number one Rafael Nadal at the U.S. Open last year. Reporter Samson O'Malley tells us more about Anderson in the following report. And Samson also has more African sports news. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. South Africa's Kevin Anderson will take on rising Canadian star Denis Shapovalov in his third round U.S. Open fixture later this evening. Kevin Anderson has sailed into the third round of the U.S. Open after comfortably dispatching Frenchman Jeremy Chardy. The fifth-seeded Anderson, runner-up to world number one Rafael Nadal in last year's final, beat Chardy 6-2, 6-4, 6-4 in 1 hour and 57 minutes.
I mean, yeah, just, you know, I was thinking of, like, you know, Wimbledon obviously as, you know, playing long matches, and it's just so different, the physicality and these kind of conditions when you, where you're just losing so much fluid, drunk so much right now, and yeah, it was tough. I mean, especially, you know, early on in that third.
Back in Africa, top athletics official David Okiyo of Kenya has been handed a life ban by the sports world ruling body, the IWAF. David Okiyo, a former Secretary General and Vice President of Athletics Kenya, as well as a member of the IWAF Council, was found guilty of diverting funds from a contract between Athletics Kenya and sports giant Nike to his own personal benefit. Okiyo had been provisionally suspended by the IWAF in November 2015, along with two other Kenyan officials, former Athletics Kenya President Isaiah Kiplagat, who died in August 2016, and Athletics Kenya Treasurer Joseph Kinyua. In volleyball news, Cameroon and Nigeria have both qualified for the semifinals of the ongoing Under-20 African Cup of Nations Championship, with host Kenya finishing in third place just after one win. Kenya was kicked out of the championship after losing 3-1 to Cameroon in their final Pool A match at the Kasarani Indoor Arena on Thursday. Paul Otio is the head coach of Kenya volleyball Under-20 women's team.
We need to get ready for everything. I know the Kenyan people are very anxious, and they get irritated when their team lost at home.
For his part, Cameroon head coach Yvan Claude is excited that his team made it through after defeating hard fight in Kenya.
Kenya have a good team, and when we see Kenya play, you remark that this team no train longer together. Yes.
And now to golf. The 14th edition of the All Africa Challenge Trophy got underway on Wednesday in Ghana. The all-female competition have 18 African countries vying for the coveted trophy. Host Ghana will battle against teams from Mali, Angola, Cameroon, Burkina Faso, Cote d'Ivoire, Egypt, and Gabon. I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. We heard from South African tennis star Kevin Anderson in Samson's report. And here are a few fun facts about the 6'8" tall Anderson. That's 2.03 meters tall in metric. Kevin Anderson went to college here in the United States at the University of Illinois. That's where he met his wife, Kelsey, who describes herself as Kevin's support team chairperson. With a background in finance, Kelsey handles the numbers for Team Kevin, figuring out and budgeting the costs of flights, hotels, food, and other recurring expenses for a top professional tennis player. And when he's not playing tennis, Kevin Anderson enjoys music. He plays guitar, and he's a fan of the British rock band Dire Straits. And speaking of music, the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, got a final farewell fit for royalty Friday in Detroit, Michigan. On the day of her funeral, we'll remember Aretha Franklin on the Sunny Side of Sports by pointing out how she was a big boxing fan. Aretha said, and I quote, "I've loved boxers since I was a little girl. I kept up with Joe Louis, Rocky Marciano, Johnny Bratton, Kid Gavilan, Archie Moore, Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, and so many others." Aretha says she even met Sugar Ray Robinson at the Hollywood Bowl once. 44 years ago, Aretha Franklin was in the Democratic Republic of Congo for the rumble in the jungle between Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. And Aretha was among the star performers at Zaire 74, a three-day music festival leading up to the epic World Heavyweight Championship fight in Kinshasa. Let's pay our respects to Aretha Franklin now with her signature song from 1967. That's the late, great Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, with her hit song, Respect. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now with more U.S. Open tennis news is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Sports fans, this was the headline on the Guardian webpage Friday morning. Umpire Pep Talk Rowe is just the latest drama in the Nick Kyrgios soap opera. I mentioned on Wednesday's show that the Australian tennis player is known for his on-court antics almost as much as his actual playing. Well, on Thursday, in his match against Frenchman Pierre Hugarbert, Kyrgios didn't appear to be giving his best effort. He lost the first set and was down 0-3 in the second, when he let two big serves pass him by without responding. It was then that Swedish chair umpire Mohammed Layani climbed down and spoke to Kyrgios in what appeared to be a show of encouragement. It's being reported that Kyrgios said he wasn't feeling well, and Layani could be heard telling him, "I'm trying to help you." Well, it seemed to do the trick. Kyrgios swept the next three sets and advanced to the third round. After the match, Kyrgios was asked if Layani really gave him a pep talk.
I'm not sure it was encouragement. He said he liked me. I don't know if that's encouragement. But again, he was just telling me, this is not a good look. Like, I wasn't feeling good. I know what I was doing out there wasn't good. You know, I wasn't really listening to him, but I knew, you know, it wasn't a good look. But it didn't help me at all. Like, I mean, I was down 5-2. Like, if it was 3-0 and I came back and maybe won six games on the road, then it's fair enough. But it didn't help me at all, to be honest.
And while some are happy for whatever it takes to get Kyrgios through to the next round, many feel the umpire's actions were simply unfair and improper. The general consensus in the Twitter sphere could be summed up with this tweet: "This is ridiculous on every level." This Twitter follower wrote, "How embarrassing for the sport of tennis. People have paid money to watch this total embarrassment. Nick, if you don't want to be there, go home." And this tweet, "Either this umpire is the greatest motivator ever and Nick should hire him as a coach, or Nick knew what he was doing." For his part, Nick shrugged the whole thing off as nothing new.
The same things happened to me. It's happened in Shanghai before, when we all know when I was, had that moment in Shanghai, that the referee said the same thing. It's not good for the integrity of the sport. Doesn't have a good look. It happens in other sports too. You know, in soccer, if someone is, you know, being rough, they get warned. You know, if you keep doing this, you can get penalized. Same sort of thing.
However, the sight of an umpire offering unsolicited advice to a player was enough for the U.S. Tennis Association to investigate the incident. They have since issued a statement that says no action should be taken against Layani, explaining the umpire came down out of concern that Kyrgios might have needed medical attention. Kyrgios will next face none other than Roger Federer. Kyrgios says he's looking forward to the match, even though he may not have full backing from the crowd.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I definitely know that I won't be the favorite, the crowd favorite either. So I go into that match with zero expectation. I do believe I can beat him. I've done it before. I can't do anything differently. I've got to recover and just... Same thing. I'm going to play the same regardless.
Federer advanced to the third round after defeating Frenchman Benoit Paire in straight sets. Federer has been a strong critic of Kyrgios' tendency to showboat during matches. After his match, Federer was asked to give his thoughts on his next opponent, and he was a little hesitant.
In Nick's situation, I don't know what to tell you. I think I'm sure he asks around. He's a clever guy, and he knows what he needs to do to get to winning ways. And he's won his two matches here, so things are going well for him. And I think it's just more of a hypothetical question, and which only stirs up stuff that we shouldn't be talking about.
And Federer had harsh words for the umpire's decision to approach Kyrgios during his match.
It's not the umpire's role. Okay. To go down from the chair, but I get what he was trying to do, but he behaves the way he behaves, and then you as an umpire take the decision on the chair. Do you like it or don't you like it? But you don't go and speak like that. In my opinion, I don't know what he said, I don't care what he said, but it was not just about how you're feeling, I'm not feeling so well, and go back up to the chair. It was there for too long. So it's a conversation, and conversations can change your mindset. Can be a physio, can be a doctor, can be an umpire for that matter. So that's why it won't happen again. I think everybody knows that.
The match between the two extremes will be held on Saturday. Some other results on the men's side. Novak Djokovic has moved on to the third round after his four-set win over American Tennis Sandgren. Germany's Alexander Zverev has also advanced after defeating Nicolas Mahut of France in straight sets. And Australian Alex de Minaur claimed a four-set victory over American Francis Tiafoe to move on to the next round. On the women's side, Russia's Maria Sharapova has advanced after her straight-set win against Romanian Sorana Cîrstea. Fourth seed Angelique Kerber came back from a second set loss to defeat Sweden's Johanna Larsson to advance to the next round. Second seed Caroline Wozniacki of Denmark is out of the tournament in a shocking straight set loss against Lucia Sorenko of Ukraine. Wozniacki has made early exits from all three Grand Slam tournaments since she won the Australian Open in January. And Madison Keys defeated American countrywoman Bernarda Pera in straight sets. Keys was a runner-up at the U.S. Open last year, and after her match, she said she's dealing with the pressure of returning to the tournament.
It's my first time having to defend a big result like that, so that's something that I'm going to have to deal with every day. And, you know, the biggest thing is to not put pressure on myself and think it's a failed tournament if I don't make the finals or win.
Tennis action continues on Friday and throughout the weekend. I'll bring you those results next week. Enjoy the matches, sports fans, and Sonny, have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen, and you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Luka Modric, the Real Madrid and Croatia midfielder, who was voted Player of the Year for last season by European football's governing body, UEFA.
Incredible moment for me, and I feel really excited and proud of this great award.
The 32-year-old Modric helped Real Madrid win its third consecutive UEFA Champions League title, and then he led Croatia to the World Cup final in Russia. Cristiano Ronaldo, who was Modric's Real teammate last season and who has since joined Juventus, was second in the voting, and Liverpool and Egypt striker Mohamed Salah was third. During the ceremony in Monte Carlo, Monaco, now retired England star David Beckham won the UEFA President's Award in recognition of his career and humanitarian efforts.
You know, there was many, many moments throughout my career. I was very lucky to play with some of the biggest clubs, with some of the best players, under some of the greatest managers. I think winning the treble was an incredible moment for me and for Manchester United. It was a moment we created history. It was a moment we, you know, created something that was so special for the club. You know, and winning the Champions League the way we won it was incredible.
David Beckham mentioned his former club, Manchester United. Man U has been drawn with Cristiano Ronaldo's Juventus, the Spanish club Valencia, and the Swiss team Young Boys in the group stage of the 2018-2019 UEFA Champions League season. Real Madrid will begin its quest for a fourth consecutive trophy in a group that also has the Italian club AS Roma, a semifinalist last season, plus CSKA Moscow and the Czech club Viktoria Plzeň. In what's being described as probably the most competitive group, Liverpool, the 2018 finalist, is drawn with French champions Paris Saint-Germain, Italian club Napoli, and Red Star Belgrade from Serbia. The first group matches in the new UEFA Champions League season are scheduled to kick off September 18th. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. As we look ahead to the new month of September, let me look back at my biggest personal sports highlight of August, being in Johannesburg for Basketball Without Borders Africa and the NBA Africa Game 2018. In Johannesburg, I met one of my boyhood heroes, basketball great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Now 71 years old, Kareem still looks fit, and he demonstrated his legendary skyhook shot to some of the younger players in Johannesburg. I asked Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the NBA's all-time leading scorer, how many times he's visited Africa.
I've been a couple of times. First time was 1971. I did a State Department tour. And I've come back once or twice since then.
In the opening remarks, they referred to Nelson Mandela several times. What are your feelings about Mr. Mandela?
Well, I thought Mr. Mandela was an incredibly charismatic figure, especially for black Americans who, you know, were observing the struggle here in South Africa. I mean, he really set an incredible example of courage and perseverance. And, you know, in that sense, he was really a giant. And, you know, he used to box. The fact that he gave up his favorite sport to become a lawyer so he could fight apartheid, I think really explains his stature here in South Africa. He devoted his whole life to freeing this nation from a very oppressive regime.
I remember in the 60s, you were very active in the civil rights movement in the United States. Martin Luther King Jr., can you compare their legacies of service, Mr. Mandela and Martin Luther King Jr.?
Well, I think, you know, when you talk about examples of people devoting their lives to their communities, Martin Luther King and Nelson Mandela, you know, they just jump right out at you. You know, they could have had other lives, but they sacrificed for their people and for the cause of freedom, justice, and equality. And I think, you know, you can't say enough about them.
In terms of legacy, Kareem, you're coming all the way to Johannesburg for a basketball development. What does that mean for your legacy to come here to Johannesburg?
Well, you know, I've tried to help the NBA in their outreach efforts. You know, I was involved in the very first Basketball Without Borders efforts. And, you know, I think it's a great thing. It's really grown, and I think it's achieved a lot.
You might say that basketball giant has achieved a lot. That's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the NBA's all-time leading scorer. And Kareem spoke with me earlier this month in Johannesburg, South Africa. During his 20 seasons in the NBA, Kareem was a record six-time league most valuable player. He was also a record 19-time NBA All-Star and a member of six NBA championship teams. Off the basketball court, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has also been an actor and a best-selling author. In fact, Kareem has written more than a dozen books. In women's professional basketball, you might say we haven't read the final chapter in the WNBA playoffs. The WNBA semifinals continue later Friday night with games here in Washington and in the western U.S. city of Phoenix, Arizona. The Washington Mystics will host the Atlanta Dream in Game 3 of their best-of-five semifinal series, which is tied at one game all. Now, one of the big storylines ahead of Game 3 is whether Washington star Elena Delladone, who injured her knee late in Game 2, will play. And in Arizona, the Phoenix Mercury are at home against the top-seeded Seattle Storm. Seattle leads this WNBA semifinal series 2-0 and can advance to the WNBA Finals with a victory later tonight. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook. My address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And that wraps up the August 31st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Zimbabwe has a new president. Emmerson M. Mnangagwa was officially sworn in on August 26th, following a ruling by the Constitutional Court declaring Mr. M. Mnangagwa the winner of the July 30th presidential election. The court dismissed a legal challenge brought by the political opposition, Movement for Democratic Change Alliance. The United States urges all parties to respect the Zimbabwean constitution and the rule of law. The IRI-NDI Zimbabwe International Electoral Observation Mission reported several improvements to the electoral process compared to Zimbabwe's past elections. Though equally important, problems gave rise to deep concerns that the process thus far has not made the mark. Further reforms are necessary to meet standards Zimbabweans expect and deserve, and which reflect regional and international best practices for democratic elections. The United States remains concerned over politically motivated human rights violations and abuses, and acts of post-electoral retribution in Zimbabwe. Violence and unlawful activity should not be part of the political process, and those responsible for such transgressions must be held accountable, said State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert. Human rights and fundamental freedoms, such as freedom of expression and association, must be respected, and victims and witnesses of human rights violations and abuses deserve protection under the law. The United States encourages the government of Zimbabwe to hold substantive discussions with all stakeholders and implement electoral and broader political and economic reforms. The United States stands ready to continue its dialogue with Zimbabwe's political, economic, and civil society leaders to foster inclusive democratic governance for the betterment of all citizens.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. VOA. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Music time in Africa. Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Friday at 0900 and Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 15, 20, and 2200 hours UTC.
Childhood cancers are highly curable with long-term survival rates as much as 80%. But for pediatric cancer patients living in refugee camps, access to care is a daunting prospect. On Press Conference USA, we'll speak with two doctors from St. Jude Children's Research Hospital about their global efforts to continue care for displaced pediatric cancer patients. Listen to us Saturday and Sunday on Press Conference USA, only on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, managing editor of VOA News.
Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
This is